Praise Jesus. Praise God. I trust that you are well. The Lord is keeping, sustaining, and watching over your life. We thank God for another good opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and to be taught by him. And we are still looking at the book of 2 Corinthians, and we study the message that Paul gives the Corinthian church. And this is the second epistle, as in the scripture, and we can see that as we are able to conclude chapter 4 yesterday, he was speaking to them and telling them to learn how to see the invisible, or rather to see the things that God sees, to have an expectation of what God is doing rather than what is happening on the outside. And he tells them, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, or our light trouble, or temporary trouble, is only but for a moment, and it's working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One of the things that Paul was very keen on is to always differentiate to the believer between the outward man and the inward man. In fact, you know, there's always this argument, is man body, spirit, and soul? Is man, you know, into three parts, or is he two parts? And the two-part angle is more of just the inward man and the outward man. And it's always an easier classification, because at times it's hard to divide spirit and soul. But when you think about the inward man, you think of that man that is in you, the man that is truly you, the man that is either dead when they've not accepted Jesus, or the man that is alive when the person has received Jesus, has received the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them. And this is the man that is made a new creation. A new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. And this inward man is one that is being renewed day by day. How is this inward man renewed day by day? By beholding the glory of God. The inward man is being transformed into the same image as God, from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of God. So this inward man is always the one that we must constantly focus on. We must constantly remember that the inward man can never be crippled. The inward man can never be blind. The inward man can never be sick. The inward man can never be depressed. The inward man is the you. I tell you, when your inward man leaves your body, then we say he has passed away, or the person is gone. It is the inward man that is the one that gives life to the outward man. Remember, the outward man is just but a body, is just but a tent. And the scriptures keep telling us that to be present with a body is to be absent with the Lord. And one of the things that Paul teaches and encourages the church is to continue to have hope in the resurrection, to know that we have a life beyond this, that though outwardly we are perishing, though outwardly our outward man is crumbling under the weight of sickness or under the weight of age, the inward man can be renewed. In fact, our strength is often measured with the strength of the inward man. If you fall in the day of adversity, how weak is your strength? That means a man's spirit will sustain him through infirmity. When you're sick and your inward man is sick, then you will die. But when you're sick on the outside and your inward man is strong, is healthy, your spirit is able to sustain you in sickness. And by God, by the grace of God, you are able to come up out of it. As you believe you have spoken, the inward man is strong. You can be speaking and speaking life. The outward man is speaking death, but the inward man speaks life. And if you learn to live life according to what God says, or according to how God sees you, that you are created in true holiness and righteousness, then you will start to see the victory in your life. And let us read chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. And Paul says, "For we know that if our earthly house," and he's speaking of this body, "this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by Zoe, by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Paul reminds the church that we have an assurance of eternal life. That this earthly body, we will soon lay it aside. That in fact our body groans. You know, when you go through pains, when you go through attacks of sicknesses, when you're in hospital, your outward man is groaning. But you see, this groaning is not that you want to die. No, this groaning is that you want to be clothed with a heavenly habitation, with that resurrection body that the Lord our God will give to everyone that believes in him. There will be a clothing. And he says that as long as we are on this earth, we will be found naked. But when we are clothed with our heavenly house, with our heavenly body, with our heavenly habitation, we shall not be found naked. And our greatest desire as every believer must to be constantly look forward to be given that heavenly garment, to be clothed with that garment of immortality. That our hope is not on earthly things. Our hope is not on the kinds of food or the kinds of cars that we have, or the kinds of, you know, of money that we have, the amount of money we have in our accounts. But our greatest joy must be that we are clothed with heaven, with the heavenly man, that we receive our reward, our final reward, when we walk away from this earth, because every man shall die. Mortality, that means this mortal life shall be swallowed up by life. That is the day of the resurrection. You shall receive the life eternal, the life immortal, the life without end, the life of God. That God has said that now I have given you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. God has given us the earnest of the Spirit. This very thing, this very expression of that life is the Holy Spirit, clothing us from the inward man. But when we put aside this body in death, we shall be clothed completely with the heavenly man. And that's why Paul says, verse 6, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." The many ways of looking at it is telling you that if you focus so much on the outward man, you are not present with the Lord. But the day that you lay aside, the day that you die, if any man must come after me, must lay down his life, take up his cross and follow me. You constantly die to yourself, and then the Lord becomes more present. And the day that we shall die on this earth is the day that we shall be present with the Lord. And Paul is very keen. He says, look here, to be absent with a body is to be present with the Lord. Always be encouraged. When we have lost our loved ones, they did not just die and into emptiness or into nothingness. No. They became present with the Lord. They are with our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, rejoicing in heaven. They are in no more pain. They are in no more suffering. They are in no more sorrow. We can be comforted that we shall meet our loved ones, especially those that died in the Lord. And we too, when we die in the Lord, we shall join up with them. And we shall not find weak relatives or weak or sickly resurrected beings. No, we shall find them clothed in glory, clothed in immortality, clothed in the resurrection life. And that's why Paul says, verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. That means in each and every moment we know that we must please the Father. In the body or out of the body, when we will be alive, or even when we will be resurrected, it shall be clear that we shall be pleasing the Father. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God. And I also trust are well known in your consciences. Paul is very keen. He's telling them that, look here, our desire must be to please God in this life, in the life to come. And know this, everyone will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and you will be judged for the things that you did in the body. You know, there are those who go on the extreme. They say, oh, my spirit is alive, but my body can do whatever it wants. No. While we are on this earth, we shall be judged according to what we do, according to this life. And he says that knowing the terror of God. You know, when it says it's appointed for man once to live, to die, and then judgment. The moment you cross this Rubicon, the moment you cross that life and death, the moment you cross that, there is no other prayer that will be made that will rescue you. There is no other time to change. The only time you have to change is now. And there are many testimonies you'll find of people who understood this, of men who went through this moment where they went into death, and those that had not accepted Jesus, they could sense the terror. They could sense the judgment. They could sense the fear gripping them. That those who were even able to go into hell, and they could see the torment. And by the mercy of God, God brought them back. Yet there are also those who knew the bliss, who as they walked into heaven, they felt the love, the joy, the peace of the Father. And those that were brought back will say, why did you bring me back? I was happy. I was in the presence of my Father. The reality is the judgment seat awaits each and every man to be judged according to the things that you did in the body. Those that lived for their own pleasure and to sin will be judged into the lake of fire along with the devil. But those that lived for Christ, believed in his name, shall be judged into eternal life. But beyond that also, there is also the judgment of rewards, where Christ shall give each and every believer his crown and his mansion according to that which they did in the body. We must continually keep looking above, keep serving God, not serving our own interests, not looking at what it will benefit us, not peddling the word of God for profit, not our own selfish desires. But when we learn to live for the Christ, when we learn to live for God, when we learn to do justice, when we learn to show mercy, when we learn to make the right decisions in the right places to effect the right character and the right attitude, then we become vessels that can be used by God and vessels that will make a difference to the nations. There is a reward that awaits each and every one of us. And he says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in the appearance and not in the heart." You know, this is a conversation that Paul is even picking from the Old Testament. Think of David. God say that I, when he was selecting David, that I do not see as man sees. I do not look at the outward, but I see the heart. I weigh the heart. God always weighs the hearts of men. And Paul is telling the church that, look here, our focus is not to commend ourselves to you on the outward, but you can see our hearts. You know our hearts. You have weighed us. We have commended ourselves to you. Your consciences also affirm that we are of God. Don't be like those who are focusing on the appearance. Oh, this man is this, this is this. No. Look at the hearts. Verse 13, "For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who should live should no longer live for themselves, but him who died for them and rose again." Paul has gotten to the point where he is no longer living for himself. He says, look here, as a church, there is a love of Christ that compels me. That he can no longer just say no. Christ's love compels him. And he is completely convinced that if one died, then all died. If Christ died for us, then we all died with him. And since we all died, we must no longer live for ourselves. When you cross to this point where it's no longer about you, it's no longer about your wants, it's no longer about your life, but it's about his life. It's about the life of the one who died for you to make you alive, and you desire to please him in every way. At this very moment, you become a vessel that is used for the glory of God. God desires such vessels that have given themselves, that say, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives. I don't live for myself. I live for Christ. And each and every decision you ask yourself, is this for me or is this for Christ? And if you choose Christ, then you see the victory. You see Christ to vindicate you. The vindication of the Spirit comes to those that are dead to themselves and that are living for Christ. My brothers, my sisters, who do you live for? In your thoughts, in your decisions, in your work, do you live for man or do you live for Christ? Do you live for yourself or do you live for the one who died for you? And he did not only die, he rose again for you. And if he died, we all died. And if he rose again, we all resurrect with him to the new life. That's why it says, verse 16, therefore, from now onward, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, or in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop here, and tomorrow we shall pick up there that aspect of the new man, of the new creation. But let us learn to live for Christ. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come forth in clarity, O God, that your love compels us to live for you, to be certain that this life has nothing to offer in comparison to that eternal life that you shall give us, that we shall be clothed with life, swallowed up with life. May that life encompass us. May that life surround us. May that life give life to our mortal bodies. May we be reminded that you are always with us, each and every moment. Thank you for my listener. Bless them, watch over them, answer their needs. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.